Blog Talk Radio. Good evening. Welcome to Beauty Talk. I'm your host, Janice Tanell, for today, April 10th. We're excited about tonight's show. We have Dr. Anthony Yoon on tonight with us. But first, I want to remind you guys that the call-in number, if you have a comment or a question, is 914-803-4399. Again, that number is 914-803-4399. And as always, we're joined by my sister, who's co-host Denise. I'm going to let her tell you quickly about the Beauty Talk question of the night.
All right. Thank you all for joining us tonight. A couple of days ago, I had the opportunity, of course, I was continuing to read Dr. Yoon's book, The Age Fix, and I had the opportunity to speak with a few ladies that I came in contact with. And I asked them all a question, and they gave me some interesting responses. So basically to all of you all tonight who's listening to the show or who may be following us on our tweet chat tonight, I wanted to ask, if you could fix the signs of aging, how would you do it? If you could fix the signs of aging, how would you do it? And I will share the responses that I got from the few ladies a little later in the show, because I don't want anyone to hear their responses and then kind of think in that direction. I just want people to answer as honestly as they can after they hear the question. So again, if you could fix the signs of aging, how would you do it?
All right. Sounds good. Tonight's guest, Dr. Anthony Yoon, is a nationally recognized board-certified plastic surgeon who is considered one of the country's best-known experts in looking younger with or without surgery. Recognized as a leader in his field, Dr. Yoon is valued for his honest approach and ability to speak to all areas of health and well-being. More than being a regular expert on The Rachel Ray Show, The Dr. Oz Show, and many others, Dr. Yoon is also a regular contributor to CNN.com, NBCNews.com, and The Huffington Post. Named a top plastic surgeon by U.S. News and World Report and Harper's Bazaar, Dr. Yoon is a member of the American Society of Plastic Surgeons, American Society for Aesthetic Plastic Surgery, and a fellow of the American College of Surgeons. Well, he wrote a book called The Age Fix, and it is filled with everything readers need to know to maintain youthful beauty, including a diet program that explains which foods help you look younger and which foods are aging. I can't wait to hear more about that. filled with an abundance of actionable takeaways and insider advice, it will help readers reclaim their youthful glow without spending a fortune or going under the knife. All right, so Dr. Yoon has spent the past 16 years researching the secrets of plastic surgeons, dermatologists, makeup artists, and dietitians, and he's compiled real surgery-free solutions to every cosmetic aging problem in this groundbreaking book. So welcome to the show, Dr. Yoon.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Absolutely. How did your journey begin? Where did it all start? Tell us a little bit about your background and how it led you to the age fix.
Yeah, so I decided to go into the field of plastic surgery after having some actually myself. When I grew up, my jaw was massive. It grew to huge proportions as a high schooler. ended up having surgery to set my jaw back between my high school and college years, and it really changed my life. It changed my self-image. It changed how I saw myself, and it really kind of got me started on realizing that how somebody views themselves can really make an impact on their life. And so I ended up going into plastic surgery as a field. I finished my training at Michigan State University, and then I did a one-year fellowship with a prominent Beverly Hills plastic surgeon. At that time, I was lucky enough to be one of the featured people on the first season of Dr. 90210 on E! And left LA, left LA, started my practice, private practice in Michigan, where I've been ever since then. And I've really enjoyed doing a lot of media, especially TV. I've been on The Rachel Ray Show over 25 times, Dr. Oz, The Doctors, and multiple other programs. And I did have a book several years ago called called In Stitches, which was a memoir about growing up Asian American in the United States and becoming a doctor. And that book did really well, but really taught me that that really wasn't where I needed to write, and I really needed to write a book about looking younger. And so the last 3 years really has been spent really purely working on this book. So I did about a year and a half of my own research on top of what I've been doing the last 16 years. It took about 9 months to write it, and then the past year we've been kind of working on getting it out there. So it's been a long but very satisfying road to get this book published.
And what kind of feedback have you guys gotten from the book?
The feedback so far has been great. We've had we actually had a segment on The Rachel Ray Show where we introduced it this past Friday, and all the reviews really have been very positive. I think people find it refreshing because this is the only book ever written by a plastic surgeon about how to look younger without actually getting work done. And that's
right.
Kind of the idea behind the book is that, you know, yes, I do plastic surgery. Yes, that's my field. That's my profession. But I strongly believe that people should have the least amount of actual surgery necessary to hopefully get them happy. And that's how I've always run my practice. And that's kind of what the book is about, as I'm sure you guys have seen now, is it's how everybody can follow certain simple guidelines, certain simple steps to turn back the clock 10 years, sometimes longer, without having to necessarily go under the knife.
You know, it's so funny that you say that because I find this book to be I feel like it's the Bible of skincare. And as I was reading, I had to kind of go back to the front of the book, and then I had to kind of look at your bio again to make sure you were a plastic surgeon because I was like, wait a minute.
I think
you give
the idea
so much information. You give so much information on how not to have surgery that I think I had to constantly remind myself.
Yeah. Well, I think that's where my perspective is unique. You know, there are a lot of dermatologists that have written books about what to put on your skin. There are nutritionists who've written books about what to eat to look younger. There are plastic surgeons who've written books about surgeries. And this is the first one, really, by a plastic surgeon where I really tried to cover everything.
Right.
And so I spent a lot of time, once again, kind of learning, working with dermatologists, learning from dermatologists, learning from nutritionists, you know, even makeup artists, although I would not say I'm an expert in makeup by any means. You know, I know enough to kind of know some of the general tricks of the trade that people can potentially utilize to get, you know, to improve how they look and to treat some of those issues that people have.
Yeah, I was gonna say you had a couple of tips on how to highlight and contour to bring out certain features, which has been a very popular trend this past year or so.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, and I think that's kind of the goal, is that anybody can pick this book up, and whatever budget that they have, whether it's a large budget or a small budget, anybody can pick it up, follow these general guidelines that I give here, and they can look younger. They can get their skin looking better. They can look in the mirror and say, wow, I look 5 or 10 years younger. And on top of that, I tried to think of every single beauty and aging problem that I could think of that anybody has ever come to my office and complained about, anything from kind of the common stuff like wrinkles and age spots and saggy skin to maybe some of the less commonly complained about things like chronic bad breath, excessive sweating, thinning hair. And I tried to come up with as many non-surgical solutions as I could. And just like you said, you know, what I really wanted to write was a Bible of looking younger that anybody could pick up and say, wow, everything is in here.
Right. Where should one begin to kind of start with the aging and revert? I don't know if you should call it reversing or stopping, but I guess you can't stop aging, but stopping the look of aging. Where do we begin? Does it begin with the skincare and how you care for your skin, or where does it
actually
begin?
I think it begins with food, and it begins with food plus two other things. So food, I think, is the number one thing, and I think it's the part of aging that a lot of people don't realize. I have so many patients who come in to see me, and they have money in hand. They say, I want a facelift. And I look at their skin, and their skin looks terrible. And a lot of times it's because of the diet that they eat. It's kind of the American diet of processed foods, of high salt, high bad fat foods, and especially foods that are filled with sugar. And so really I think what we're finding out more and more is that what we eat can really make a huge impact on how our skin ages. And dermatologists are finding more about this. Plastic surgeons are just starting to learn about it. But this is something that nutritionists have known for a long time. And so the first place to start would be how you eat. And so if people ask me, okay, you know, I don't want to read an entire book about what to eat to look younger. Give me some quick tips that make sense. The first thing is you want to decrease the amount of sugar that you eat. And this is scientifically proven. Sugar has two main ways that it can really age your skin. The first way is that it can cause inflammation. And so if you eat a lot of sugar, and now sugar doesn't have to necessarily be desserts, but it could be a lot of carbs, simple carbs like white bread, white rice, bagels, pasta. If you have a lot of that, then you get sugar spikes, and these sugar spikes cause insulin spikes as a compensation for the sugar, and those sugar and insulin spikes can actually create chronic inflammation, and that inflammation can be very detrimental to our skin. So inflammation is the first way that eating too much sugar can really affect our skin, but the second way is glycation. Have you guys ever heard of glycation?
No.
So glycation sounds kind of complicated, and it is kind of complicated, but to simplify it, the sugar molecules that we eat, they will actually bond to the collagen and the elastin in our skin. Collagen and elastin are the building blocks of our skin and actually causes them to become deformed. So by deforming the collagen and the elastin in our skin, it causes our skin to age prematurely. So sugar really is the worst thing that you can eat for your skin in the end. So that would be the first thing. If somebody says, what should I do to change my diet to look younger? Number one, you want to decrease the amount of sugar that you eat. Now, there are good sugars out there too, sugars that aren't as bad. So for example, a very direct switch would be to switch from white to whole wheat. So instead of getting white bread, get whole wheat bread. Instead of getting white rice, get brown rice. You know, instead of getting white pasta, get, you know, whole grain pasta. Just making that switch, when you can make a huge difference in the sugar spikes that you get, because that fiber will slow down the release of the sugar in your bloodstream and will cause the sugar spikes to be much less aggressive. So that's one thing you can do. Second thing is we always encourage good fats. So you may have heard a lot in the news lately about good fat and bad fat. Fat isn't always bad, like we thought back in the 80s and early 90s. There is some fat that can be very good, and that good fat actually, monounsaturated and polyunsaturated fats, you find in a lot of nuts in olive oil, avocado oil, canola oil, and you find it in cold water fish like salmon and tuna. But if you have a lot of those good fats, they're actually anti-inflammatory to our skin, and they can help moisturize our skin from the inside out. So those are two just big changes, you know, that people can make in their diet that can really make a huge difference in how their skin looks.
Wow. That's a lot right there.
I know. I'm sitting here taking notes like, okay, I need to make sure I cut out this, I need to cut out that.
So put it simply, you know, if you're going to have sugar, try to switch from white to whole wheat or whole grain. If you're going to have white sugar, try to add some type of a fiber, protein, or fat with it because that can slow down the sugar spikes. So, for example, if you're going to have a bagel, add peanut butter onto your bagel or almond butter, and that can slow down the release of that glucose. If you're going to have pasta, add a little bit of olive oil to that pasta. That fat can slow down the absorption, the digestion of that pasta.
Gotcha.
If you're going to have candy, throw some peanuts in with it. You know, that's good peanut fat, and that's going to also slow it down too.
Wow. I mean, it's funny because my sister and I are working on this TV show, and one of the actresses, I mean, she can't be any older than 29 or 30.
Mm-hmm.
And she's always talking about the lines under her eyes. And and I'm saying to myself, why does she have lines under her eyes? So basically what I'm asking is, is there a certain age when people begin to age? You know, like how young does one age?
Well, most of us find that when we're in our 20s, we can kind of abuse our bodies to an extent, and it seems like the body in general will bounce back. You know, so that's the age when people are old enough to go to the bars, they're partying, they're doing all-nighters, you know, they're not eating the right foods, yet still the body bounces back. But once you really start getting close to 30, you're really going to start seeing some of that stick, some of the bad habits really starting to stick, and definitely when you hit 40, you know. If you can't, in general, when I see patients who come in my office, I find that when people are having bad habits and they're in their early 20s, a lot of times it's hard to tell. You know, it's hard for me sometimes to tell if a 22-year-old is a smoker. But when that 22-year-old is 35 and they come in, I can spot a smoker a mile away. Without even talking with them, just looking at their skin, I can tell if they're a smoker. And definitely when they're in their 40s, because by then the damage is already done. So, you know, the good habits really need to start ideally at least in the 20s. I mean, ideally it starts even younger than that. It starts, you know, we teach this to our children to apply sunblock, not to smoke, obviously, you know, to eat good foods, nutritious foods. But once again, the body is, you know, when we're youthful, when we're in our late teens and early 20s, our skin is turning over more rapidly. We have the benefit of youth. But even that sun that you get then, sometimes that comes out and you can start seeing it even in your early 40s. The damage that you've had done when you're in your teens and early 20s, sometimes you don't see it until later.
Mm-hmm. Going back to the food, talk about the importance of green tea.
Well, green tea is interesting because one study found that the polyphenols, the antioxidants in green tea, are 100 times more powerful at destroying free radicals and vitamin C. So when you think, okay, well, what is a free radical? Free radicals are damaging molecules in our body. And basically they damage our body from the inside out and sometimes from the outside in. Free radicals are caused by some of the natural mechanisms of our body will create free radicals. And our body is made to fight those off and to neutralize them. However, when we get too many free radicals, that can actually overrun our body's natural defenses. So we can get free radicals by foods that we eat. So eating a lot of processed, unhealthy foods, that causes free radical damage. UV radiation from the sun will cause free radical damage. Even pollution in the air can cause free radicals. And these free radicals will attack our skin and cause us to age prematurely. So when people say, okay, you know, I apply vitamin C to my skin. A vitamin C is an antioxidant. It fights free radicals. I'm sorry, that's my dog barking. Just one second. So vitamin C is an antioxidant. Antioxidants function by fighting free radicals. That's what they do. And green tea is one of the most powerful of all of the antioxidants. Now, the issue with green tea, though, is that not everybody likes to drink it. People seem to like coffee more. And so what I try to encourage people to do is to try to switch from coffee to green tea, if at all, you know, if you can. And it's tough for some people because they like the taste of coffee. But what I encourage people then to do is, if you can, switch slowly. So some people drink upwards of 3 or 4 cups of coffee a day. Even if you just switch 1 cup of coffee for green tea, so you'll have 2-3 cups of coffee and 1 cup of green tea, you're going to get more antioxidants out of it. You're going to get a good antioxidant boost. It's going to be healthier. Plus, green tea, usually you don't put all the additives, the sugar and the cream and all that type of stuff that's not good for you.
Right. Wow.
So really, it's one of the best beverages for turning back the clock.
Right. Well, you mentioned sun, and I want to talk a little bit about exposure to the sun and sunscreens as well, the importance of using sunscreen, and then the difference between some of the sun rays, the UVA and UVB rays, and what's good, what's not good.
Yeah. So with sun, basically, the number one rule is you want to have a broad spectrum sunblock. Broad spectrum means that it covers both UVA and UVB rays. The easiest way to kind of distinguish between the two is UVB. B stands for burn. So UVB rays cause the body, the skin, to actually burn. UVA, A stands for aging, will cause the skin to age. Okay, now, ideally you want a sunblock that covers both. There, believe it or not, are some sunscreens that only cover UVB but not UVA. So, but if it says broad spectrum on it, you know it covers both. Now, ideally you want to apply a sunscreen to your face every morning, because you technically, 60% of the sun's rays can actually penetrate on a cloudy day. So ideally every morning, before you put your makeup on, apply a light sunscreen, at least an SPF of 30. Ideally, if you're going to go out to the beach or you're going to be outside, you do want to reapply every 2 hours any sunscreen or sunblock that you apply as well. Now, some people say, well, geez, I drive all day, but don't the car windows block the sun because I never get burned? Well, technically, car windows will block UVB rays, which cause you to burn. So you won't necessarily get burned through your car window, but they don't block UVA rays, which can cause premature aging and even can cause skin cancer. So that's why if you see somebody who drives a lot, and you may see on their left hand a lot more sun damage than on their right hand. You'll see more age spots. It may be a little more wrinkly on the left hand, left side of the face than the right.
Right. Now, I wanted to go back a little bit. Earlier in the conversation, I was talking about the three ladies that I asked the question, if they could change the signs of aging, what would they do? The first young lady I spoke to, she was probably 30s, and she said she would change it. She would make changes from the inside out. The second woman I spoke to, she's about, I guess, late 40s, and she said she would get more sleep, she would drink more water, she would get more exercise, and she would change her attitude. And the third lady was like early 50s, and she said she saw signs of aging in her skin about 6 months ago. And she said what she did was she stopped all chemicals in her skincare products. And she took out, you know, anything that had alpha hydroxy products, alpha hydroxy acid in her products. And she said because her skin was becoming very dry.
And I know that can be typical of women, of course, the older you get, but also women who may be going through menopause and things like that. They may see signs of dryness in their skin. But she said she cut out the chemicals, all the alpha hydroxy acids, and she started using Vaseline on her face.
Mm-hmm.
When she said that, I didn't respond to that. I just kind of wrote the response down.
Yeah.
But what I found to be interesting in all of those responses was no one said anything about plastic surgery.
Mm-hmm. And it's not for everybody, although it's interesting.
It's not,
because the surveys that we find is that when you take cost out of the equation, it's a pretty high percentage of people that would actually consider actually having surgery. I think it's somewhere mm-hmm. that 30 to 40% of people would actually seriously consider it when cost is taken out of the equation. When you add cost into the equation, then that number significantly drops.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think from my standpoint, you know, I operate 3 times a day, and my number one concern in my practice is a patient going to have a bad outcome? Because it's surgery, you know, it's not the same as getting a haircut. It's not the same as, you know, even taking a mole off or something. The surgeries that we do, people are put under anesthesia. They're given medications. You know, they're put into a position of risk. And so if I feel so strongly, you know, honestly, that if I can make somebody happy and not put them under that risk, my fear every time I perform a surgery on somebody, my number one fear is that person, is that person going to die? Okay, now, thank God, knock on wood, that's never happened to me. But that's always the first thing on my mind, the biggest fear, because people die from routine operations. You know, they do across the country every day. And you just hope, and sometimes there's no way to really prevent it or to predict it. It just happens. People have complications that you don't foresee. And so from my standpoint, once again, I operate on people because sometimes that's their only real option to get what they need. But, man, if I can get them happy without that, even if it's injections or something like that that's much less risky but still somewhat invasive, then that's obviously the best way to go.
Yeah, definitely.
And that's kind of what the Age Fix is about. You know, the book is all about that. But it does admit that there are certain conditions that no matter what you do, you just have to consider surgery if you're going to treat it.
Right.
And so, you know, I do think that there are those situations. And those situations are not a lot. You know, there are situations like if you've got a lot of extra skin hanging from your tummy, it doesn't matter what you eat or what cream you apply to it, that skin's not going to go away. You know, that necessitates surgery.
Right. Right. Now, earlier in the show, Janice spoke of an actress that we were working with who she's, mm-hmm. I mean, it's an issue, you know, the so-called laugh lines, as we tend to call them, and, you know, crow's feet. And she's, you know, late 20s, but she has very deep lines. So can we talk about where that comes from, like what causes it, and some non-surgical methods of possibly treating that?
Yeah, so crow's feet are caused by muscles. So we have two kinds of wrinkles. There are dynamic wrinkles and static wrinkles. Dynamic wrinkles are wrinkles that are caused by the repetitive motion of muscles. And those are crow's feet wrinkles. They're the wrinkles of your forehead and the frown lines between your eyebrows. Those are called dynamic wrinkles. Static wrinkles are wrinkles that are there no matter what type of expression you have. So the nasolabial folds, which are the deep creases that we get from the corners of the nose to the corners of the mouth, those are called static wrinkles. So crow's feet wrinkles are caused by contraction of the orbicularis muscle, which is a circular muscle that goes all the way around our eye. When we squint our eyes, we're contracting that muscle, and that the repetitive motion of that muscle with the connections to the overlying skin create those crow's feet wrinkles. So starting with most aggressive, the no question, the best treatment for that, the most effective is Botox. And that's one reason why Botox is so popular.
So popular. Yeah.
Because Botox then weakens or paralyzes that muscle, causing that muscle to not create those wrinkles anymore. And lasts about 3 to 4 months But literally, you inject that. It's a very easy injection. It doesn't hurt hardly at all. Within a week, those crow's feet are probably 80 to 90% smoother.
Mm.
So,
but if you don't want to see them anymore ever, you just have to continue with Botox, correct?
Well, that's the problem, is it's temporary.
Right.
So
right.
Now we do find that the muscles do atrophy or they get smaller as time goes on. So for people mm-hmm. who do Botox somewhat regularly, you may need to use a little bit less Botox as time goes on because the muscles aren't quite as strong. Maybe it lasts a little bit longer instead of 3 or 4 months. Hopefully you can get upwards of 6 months after a while. But it's temporary, so eventually those muscles do come back.
Right.
So taking Botox out of the equation, Botox really is the magic bullet for those wrinkles. You know, unfortunately, there's nothing that works quite like that. There is something that actually is on the horizon that's in the FDA mm-hmm. pipeline right now that's a topical Botox. It's a Botox in a cream form, basically. And they have been testing Ooh. That out for those crow's feet, and the results so far, my understanding, I'm not one of the investigators, but the results so far have been pretty impressive. So Ooh. That might be a very easy, non-invasive way to treat those crow's feet wrinkles.
And so that would be something that you would have to get from
probably a doctor's
surgeon
office.
Or dermatologist.
Yeah, you would
yeah.
purchase it okay. and then just apply it, and it smooths those wrinkles out. Now, short of that, those are really, no question, that's the most effective way to treat it. There are no anti-aging wrinkle creams that are going to make those wrinkles go away because the cause of those wrinkles are muscles, and creams are not going to go all the way down to those muscles to treat them. So you can do some anti-aging creams like retinol creams, alpha hydroxy acid creams, and these types of exfoliating creams, and they may mildly improve your crow's feet, but in the end, you're kind of treating the surface, but the cause is deep down below.
Right.
So what can you do, you know, short of Botox? Number one, when you're young, wear sunglasses and wear sunglasses throughout because those wrinkles are caused by squinting. So you got to wonder if your actress friend may have not worn sunglasses in the sun and tends to squint a lot. So the less squinting you do, I'm sorry?
No, I was going to say one thing that I've noticed when I read that in your book, the first thing I thought was, in the 3 years of working with her, I've never seen her in a pair of sunglasses. When she comes in the hair and makeup trailer, she cannot see without her glasses. So when she comes in and she sits in the chair, she doesn't have her glasses. She's constantly squinting.
And
constantly.
Does she normally wear glasses?
She normally wears her glasses or contacts. So she'll put in her contacts after the makeup is done, then she'll put
yeah.
in her contacts. But before
yeah.
then, she's constantly squinting.
Because some people who wear glasses squint a lot because they don't necessarily have a pair of prescription sunglasses that they carry around. So they
right.
may just wear their regular glasses. I used to do that when I had LASIK done many years ago. But before that, I think I had one or two pairs of prescription sunglasses throughout my entire life, and that's it. I just would go out in the
mm-hmm.
sun and squint. And so I think that could be one of the issues. Now, there are some, and these are temporary, serums that you can buy at the drugstore and online that can create
mm-hmm.
a temporary tightening of that skin around the crow's feet. So for people
mm-hmm.
who say, look, I've got a class reunion I want to go to, I don't want Botox, but is there something that I can do to smooth those wrinkles out immediately, then yes, there are serums out there. One's called Sudden Change. You can literally buy it for $15, $16 at CVS that acts kind of like a shrink wrap for those wrinkles around the eyes, as well as puffiness under the eyes. It lasts for a few hours. And if you ever felt the sensation of a little Elmer's glue dry on your skin, you kind of know the feeling of it. It creates this little
mm-hmm.
film that tightens that skin up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you have to be very cautious how much you use. If you use too much, you can see a film left behind. So you got to use a small
right.
amount. It'll go a long way, but that's one way to actually smooth those wrinkles out instantly. But once again, there's no permanent change.
Right. Right.
And then
and
the
what
final
about those
thing.
Oh.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, what about those laugh lines? But maybe that's what you were about to talk about.
Yeah, so the final thing for crow's feet that you can try is there are these commercially available patches called frownies. And they're based off of muscle control. So once again, those wrinkles are caused by contraction of that muscle. And if you don't contract the muscle, you don't get the wrinkles. And frownies are little patches that you wear in the evening and at night that help smooth that area because they prevent you from squeezing that muscle.
Gotcha.
So that's another potential, you know, option to try to treat it. But in the end, the easiest way to do it, it's a little Botox.
And I'm trying to talk her out of that.
Yeah. Yeah, Botox, though, of all that area for Botox, you know, when people think about, oh, Botox makes people look funny and they give them weird eyebrows and stuff, it's only really when you inject Botox in the forehead that people get that weird look. If you inject Botox in the crow's feet or in the frown lines between the eyebrows, usually it really doesn't change a person's appearance much. It just smooths things out.
Right. Nice. And so what causes the frown lines? Because those are the static wrinkles, correct?
Yeah, so the frown lines are, we call them
the
nasolabial folds. Yeah, the laugh lines. They're the ones that extend the deep grooves that can extend from the corners of the mouth down to the, or up to the corners of the nose. Those are static wrinkles, and they're caused by two things. There's a connection between the skin and the underlying muscle, and what happens then is that connection stays put, whereas the fat of the cheek starts to drop. So the fat of the cheek drops, that connection stays put, and it creates that groove. Unfortunately, those wrinkles, there is no at-home remedy.
Yeah.
So there's nothing you can apply to it that's going to make it go away. There's no instant change creams that will make it go away. The only really effective way to treat those wrinkles is to be injected with a filler.
Mm-hmm.
And the common filler names are Juvederm and Restylane. Even surgery actually doesn't treat those wrinkles. It really is purely just a filler problem. Fillers can be expensive, though. Usually we charge per syringe, and each syringe, depending on who does it, can run anywhere from $600 to $800 per syringe. And most people need at least two syringes to really fully treat those wrinkles. So it can get up there in cost. The good thing at the filler is they do last longer than Botox. With filler, typically you get 6 to 9 months out of it, sometimes longer, but it's still quite expensive.
Yeah, it's very expensive.
Yeah. Yeah, and unfortunately, as more fillers come out, the companies make more of them, they don't drop the price. They just make more types of expensive fillers.
Because they know people will pay the price, actually.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
So what's a good everyday anti-aging skincare routine?
Yeah, so I tell my patients, you know, in the book, it's very straightforward that in the morning, every morning and evening, you need to cleanse, treat, and protect your skin. And so what in the book I give decade by decade and based off skin type, how you need to ideally treat your skin to get the maximum benefit of creams. Obviously, as I'm sure you see, I recommend a lot of inexpensive drugstore-bought creams, and I explain the difference between really what you find at the drugstore versus maybe in doctor's offices or in department stores. That being said, for the basis of this discussion, because you've got a lot of listeners, and some listeners may be a little older, some may be a little younger, some may have gone through menopause, some not, there's four things that everybody really should do. And if you do these four things, you're going to be way ahead of everybody else. So the first thing, and we mentioned it earlier, is you got to apply a sunscreen on your face every morning before you put your makeup on, at least an SPF 30. Sometimes certain moisturizers contain sunscreen anyway. Some people wear mineral makeup that also, you know, acts as a sunblock. That's fine too. So number one, sunscreen every morning. Number two, you want to apply an antioxidant cream every morning. So we kind of talked about before free radical damage, okay? Free radicals are created by our natural processes in our body, but we get subjected to free radicals all day, whether it's people smoking around us or pollution, automobile exhaust, the foods that we eat, the sun that gets into our skin. All of that creates free radicals, and applying an antioxidant cream every morning will help fight that off. Sunscreen only fights UV radiation. Antioxidants fight everything else. And once again, vitamin C is a very popular one that you can buy over the counter, usually for quite inexpensive.
Mm-hmm.
So, number one, sunscreen every morning. Number two, antioxidant cream every morning. Applied antioxidant before the sunscreen. Third thing that everybody should do is they should exfoliate their skin at least two or three times a week. Now, there's multiple ways to exfoliate your skin. And in the book, The Age Fix, I do give a number of ways you can do it. From the inexpensive, but you can buy a very inexpensive scrub at the drugstore, to the more expensive, you can buy a Clarisonic device, and that's the one with the rotating head with the brush, and that can exfoliate your skin as well. But you need to exfoliate your skin 2 to 3 times per week. You don't want to do more than that because you can create irritation if you do too much exfoliation. And if you have sensitive skin, you may only need to exfoliate once a week. But what that exfoliation does is it turns over your skin cells, and because what happens as we get older is that our skin turnover slows down. So our skin, ideally when we're younger, turns over every 6 weeks or so, and as we get older, that turnover slows down, 8 weeks, 10 weeks, 12 weeks of turnover, and we get this buildup of dead, clumped skin cells on the surface of our skin, and that's one reason why as we get older, our skin feels rougher, we lose luster to it, it looks drier, and just more aged. So when we exfoliate, then we can actually get rid of that upper layer of dead skin cells. And interestingly enough, exfoliation sends a cellular signal to the deeper skin to exfoliate even more. So we start getting closer and closer to that every 6 to 8 weeks cellular turnover that we ideally want. Okay, so number one, sunscreen every morning. Number two, antioxidant cream every morning. Number three, exfoliate 2 to 3 times a week. And number four, you want to apply an anti-aging cream at night. Now, that's the big one. What do you apply on your skin at night? What type of anti-aging cream? There's so many out there. If you ask plastic surgeons and dermatologists around the country, the vast majority of them will recommend first a retinoid. Retinoid is a type of vitamin A. Prescription strength retinoid is called Retin-A, that I'm sure you've heard of, or the generic name is called tretinoin. That's prescription strength. Non-prescription strength is retinol, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And tretinoin, or prescription strength Retin-A, tretinoin, is scientifically proven to reduce wrinkles, to tighten up skin, to increase the thickness of the skin, and to even reverse early pre-skin cancers. So if you had to pick one of the most potent anti-aging cream for the skin, one cream, you would want to pick tretinoin, or prescription strength Retin-A. However, the problem with tretinoin is it's strong, and a lot of people can't tolerate it. It's too strong for people who have sensitive, thin, and real dry skin, okay?
Right.
Some people can't tolerate it. It gets their skin red. It gets it real inflamed. It gets it super dry and flaky. Now, in the vast majority of people, if they stick with it after, after 6 to 8 weeks, that reaction will subside. But some people don't want to go through that. And for those people who don't want to go through it, you can get an over-the-counter retinol. Retinol basically is a weaker form, an over-the-counter version of Retin-A or tretinoin, but it's much easier to tolerate. You can get those at the drugstore relatively cheap. Okay, so ideally you want to start applying the retinol cream every other night. If it's prescription strength tretinoin, maybe every 3 nights. And then as your skin tolerates it, increase to every night as tolerated. Okay, those are the 4 things that I would recommend in general. So you want to apply a sunscreen every morning, antioxidant every morning, exfoliate 2 to 3 times a week, and then apply an anti-aging cream, ideally a retinoid product at night if you can. And the final thing, which is kind of a 4.5, is you always want to cleanse your skin every night. There are a lot of people that say, oh, I'm so tired. I'm just going to go to bed and I'll wash my makeup off in the morning. Horrible idea, okay?
Yeah.
You've got to wash off the makeup, get rid of all of the dirt and grime and pollution that's been stuck to your skin from a day out in public. You got to let your skin breathe at night and to rejuvenate itself at night.
Now,
wow.
Two quick questions before we let you go, because I know we have to let you go soon. One, I had someone respond to my question about, fixing any signs of aging, and they mentioned their dark circles being hereditary.
Yeah.
Is that actually a fact? Because I never really thought that that was true.
Yeah, so dark circles under the eyes, in the Age Fix book, there's quite a bit of information there, because dark circles under the eyes are very complicated. And I'll tell you, just I had a patient, a friend who was also a patient, who complained of her dark circles. And I give the story actually in the Age Fix book, but I said, well, why don't you bring in, she says, everything I've tried in my eyes don't help it. So I said, why don't you bring in the creams that you've tried and let's take a look. And she brought a small garbage bag filled with all these creams, and none of them really were going to work for her because they weren't targeting her main issue. So dark circles on the eyes can have technically several potential causes, and the treatment needs to be targeted to the cause. So number one, very common, puffiness under the eyes. Okay, we have fat that can protrude from our eye sockets that look like bags under our eyes. And that can create dark circles because we get shadowing from that puffiness. The only real solution for that permanent is surgery, to take that fat out. That's what a blepharoplasty does, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, you can still use that sudden change and those instant tightening creams that can actually get rid of that too temporarily, but the only permanent solution for that is surgery. So dark circles can be caused by shadowing from puffiness. Well, dark circles can also be caused by pigment. So people who are darker skinned, African Americans, mm-hmm. Asian Americans, mm-hmm. Latinos, we can get pigment deposition there, and that's treated completely differently. So it doesn't matter if you have surgery, if it's pigment that's causing the dark circles, you need to target that pigment. And that's what my friend, she was Indian, and mm-hmm. she had all these creams. They were supposed to get rid of dark circles, but they were treating something different. They weren't treating the actual pigment. So you want skin lightening creams if it's a pigment problem. And mm-hmm. and the third thing that can cause the dark circles under the eyes, I'm blanking all of a sudden on what that is. it's thinning of the skin. Okay, so
yes.
We see in a lot of Caucasians, as they get older, the eyelid skin is the thinnest skin of the entire body. Sometimes it's mm-hmm. only a handful of cell layers thick. So as that skin gets thinner, we start seeing the dark blood vessels underneath. And those dark blood vessels cause it to look dark under the eyes. Well, that's treated very differently than the other two issues. That's treated ideally by a retinol cream. And we mentioned the retinoids before.
Mm-hmm.
A retinol lower eyelid cream will gradually thicken that skin to cause those blood vessels to be less visible. A good moisturizer can technically help with that temporarily
mm-hmm.
as well. So it all comes down to the cause. You know, if it's puffiness, unfortunately, surgery is the only permanent solution. If it's pigment, you want to get on some skin lightening creams. And if it's thinning of the skin, then you want to get on a cream like a retinol cream that will gradually thicken that skin with time.
Is there a skin lightening cream that you would recommend?
The most potent is a little bit controversial,
mm-hmm.
is hydroquinone. So the most potent skin lightening cream is called hydroquinone. It comes in prescription strength 4% and non-prescription strength 2%.
Yeah,
it's controversial because in laboratory rats, there are potential risks of some type of cancers, but it's never mm-hmm. been shown in humans. And there is a risk of something called ochronosis, which is a very unusual situation where people who typically they're African, they
mm-hmm.
apply to their skin and they can actually get a compensatory darkening actually of the skin.
Hmm.
That being said, it is used very commonly throughout the United States, and it is the most potent skin lightening cream. What I recommend for my patients is if you're going to use it at six-month intervals, okay? If you do it at six-month intervals, it's usually very, very safe to do. Don't apply it if you're pregnant or nursing, but otherwise, six-month intervals, you can really even the skin tone out dramatically. Then after 6 months, you stop it and get on something that's non-hydroquinone. There are many
mm-hmm.
out there over the counter, some with niacinamide. That's a good, very, very mild skin lightener.
Mm-hmm. Nice. But I do notice that you mentioned Africans. I do notice that there are lots of Africans who are into bleaching their skin.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not exactly sure what they're using, but there's so many products that just by being on the internet and being on social media,
yeah,
I run across so many that, you know, they're looking for products to bleach their skin.
Yeah, probably the most powerful would be that I know of is hydroquinone, because it is very powerful. The problem, like I said, is that if people stay on it too long, they can get tolerance to it, and they can get issues with getting off of it. And they actually will get their skin nice, you know, kind of an even color to it. And then, but if they've been on it for too long and then they just cold turkey stop it, they can actually get compensatory pigment come back and stuff. So you got to be very careful with those. There are some very mild over-the-counter lighteners that aren't, you know, aren't, that don't have that type of effect, but they also take a lot longer to work. Probably the most common one that you find in drugstore brand products, very safe, is niacinamide. I mentioned that earlier. A very mild lightener. You know, any of these lightening creams, though, even the prescription strength ones, will take at least 6 weeks to take effect. If you use a niacinamide cream, it could take longer than that. Licorice root extract, a lot of people, you know, who are really into natural types of treatments, they'll use licorice root extract. That can also lighten the skin. But once again, you are looking at, you know, a significant amount of time. I mean, it will take a minimum of 2 months to probably see any type of change with that.
Right.
Oh, right. Well, Dr. Yoon, we know you have to go. We thank you so much. It's been great having you on. Maybe sometime down the road in the future we can have you back on. We have lots of questions.
I appreciate it. Thank you for spending part of your evening with me. And my website, DrYoon.com, for people who are interested in getting the Age Fix book, we do have up to 6 free gifts for anybody who purchases it. If you purchase the Age Fix, you can buy it on Amazon. It's at all the bookstores across the country. But if you go to my website, DrYoon.com, and sign up there, you get up to 6 free gifts for buying the book as well. And it includes the Age Fix bonus book, which is another 30-page book of little tips and tricks and secrets to looking younger, some of the newest treatments that didn't make it into the actual Age Fix are in the bonus book. You go to the website, you know, purchase the book, go to the website, get that free bonus book.
Nice. Wow. See, I'm upset now because I have a copy of the book, so I can't get the free
Well, hopefully, if you buy it as a gift, feel free and head over to the site and put the information in and get a copy of the bonus book as well.
That's true. I could give it away as a free gift or a giveaway on the show.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you so much for having me on.
Absolutely.
Oh, you're so welcome.
Thank you very much. Have a great night.
You too. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Bye-bye. So I have a little something for Beauty News that I wanted to share. Let's see. Okay, so there's a virtual beauty video that's out that, it aims to end racial segregation at the drugstore. So let me just read you what I have. And there's a Dr. Richelieu Dennis, who's the founder of Sundial Brands, who's kind of behind this all. And he says that we just have been conditioned to go to the corner and find our spot where we've been placed. One black woman happened to say this about the Shea Moisture video. They have a new campaign called Break the Walls. And basically she's saying that there is a section called ethnic in the beauty aisles in some of the stores. And then the video also goes on to show or shed light on the fact that many stores separate women's hair care into two categories, mainstream beauty and ethnic beauty. And so the hair care brand Shea Moisture is urging shops to literally break the walls and combine everything into one inclusive beauty aisle. So the founder of Sundial Brands says, I have often said over the last 29 years that the beauty aisle is the last place in America where segregation is still legal, and separating beauty from ethnic has only served to further perpetuate narrow standards of what is considered beautiful in our industry and our society, which is why we began leading the efforts to break down those walls. So he went on to say, this movement is about too much more than selling shampoo or lotion or cosmetics. We're advancing a mission and vision to change the social dialogue about how we're looking at beauty as a society and how those structures and views are deliberating the establishment of new and more inclusive ways of viewing beauty, whether in the whether it's in images we see or the aisles that that divide. So it's kind of interesting. You can go out. I'm trying to remember where I saw the video. I think they have a copy of the video on PopSugar.com. So check out PopSugar.com, and you can check out the video and see what it's all about. But that's very true. There are sections in a lot of the beauty aisles that separate mainstream and ethnic beauty when it comes to hair.
Oh, definitely. You can walk the aisles of Target and Walmart and notice that.
Exactly. So it's pretty interesting to thought I would share that.
Yeah, one other thing that I wanted to share. There's a question that I wanted to talk to that I wanted to ask Dr. Yoon about, and that was the about the whole Korean beauty thing. And and he does mention that a little in his book. So I'm going to reach out to him to see if he would answer that question for us, and I will post it on our Facebook page, Beauty Talk Online Radio page. I wanted to do a giveaway tonight, but because I knew that Dr. Yoon wasn't able to stay on for the full hour, I decided not to do it. I was going to ask the question that I did ask at the top of the show, and then whoever would respond on over the phone to the question, I was going to choose from one of those people to give away a copy of a Makeup Artist magazine. It is the number 4 edition. It's one of 2 covers, but this particular cover was a cover of a model that Valente Frazier did. So it's called Valente Frazier, they call him the model's makeup man. So I will be giving away that copy, issue number 94 of the Makeup Artist magazine. I will post on the Beauty Talk Online radio page and probably have it out there probably for about the next, I would say the next, for about a week. And just to let everyone know, we will not be having a show on next Sunday because Janice and I will be on vacation, leaving the country to go on vacation. And so we will have a show the following week, which I believe is the 25th, if I'm not mistaken, or the 24th.
Mm-hmm.
The 24th. So we will have a show that week. And again, that will be the week that I will announce the winner of the giveaway for the Makeup Artist magazine. So again, follow the Beauty Talk Online radio page on Facebook. I will be hopefully posting a response to a question from Dr. Yoon. And for the giveaway, I will probably ask a question based on something that we talked about here on the show tonight. And whoever, I guess, is the first person to come up with the correct answer will win the magazine. So just stay tuned to the Beauty Talk Online radio page on Facebook, and we will have all the details of the giveaway on there.
All right. Sounds good. So thank you guys for tuning in tonight. Hopefully you learned something. For the makeup artists out there, estheticians out there, hopefully you've learned something that you can share with your clients. Again, the agefix.com, you can purchase the book. The first 6 people to get out there and purchase get a free gift. Don't forget to follow us on Facebook at Beauty Talk Online. And you can follow us on Twitter at Beauty_Talk. And then we are on Instagram as Beauty_Talk_Media. And then you can follow both my sister and I on all social media outlets just by our names, Denise Tunnell and Janice Tunnell. Janice spelled like J-A-N-I-C-E, Tunnell, T-U-N-N-E-L-L. All right. Thanks again, guys, for tuning in. Again, we'll be back on the 24th of this month, 9 p.m., same time, same place, on the 24th. So check us out then. We'll be back with some more great beauty news and another great guest. All right, so everyone have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful night, and have a beautiful, blessed week. Good night, everybody.
Good night.